simultaneously passing the eye test, the smell test, and the ear test.
Huge win.
That's a big win.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's head on to the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Our buddy Ellis Williams covers the Browns for Cleveland.com, and he joins us there. Let's start with the expected news today, which became official here within the last hour or so, that Myles Garrett is back. The Browns welcomed him back. Andrew Berry, the new GM up there, welcomed back with open arms, and so they will go forward with Myles. And Ellis, a big prove-it year for Myles on the horizon, as well as he can get paid at the end of this thing if he wants to. I would imagine that number was impacted a little bit because of this suspension. Your view of the way that this whole ordeal has played out and now come to conclusion is what, sir?
Yeah, well, look, it played out how most of us thought it was going to. It's really not a big surprise that Myles Garrett is reinstated today, but I think you're right about the number. Look, coming in to 2019, Myles Garrett, put the pressures on himself, eyeing the defensive player of the year, and we've all seen the big, huge paydays, the $100 million contracts that are creeping up towards that come to these pass rushers now. So, as you said, Myles Garrett was in line for all of that, and as we know, one swing of a helmet changed everything. Now, Myles has, of course, a huge year of redemption ahead of him, but also with the way the season ended for the Browns, I think there can be an argument to be made that Myles Garrett was a big winner in 2019, and I know that might sound a little strange, but the defense completely collapsed in his absence. In those first 10 games, as the offense struggled, it really was the defense keeping them afloat. Garrett, of course, with the 10 sacks in his exit. And though he may have been seen as a stat filler, a sack chaser guy, there's no secret that the rushing defense plummeted. Quarterbacks were extending plays with him off the field. So though it's a big redemption year, I think that just in his absence, it became pretty apparent how valuable he was to this defense.
Ellis, I want to ask about a specific guy who's going to be a free agent in Joe Schobert. And I'm wondering, you know, if Dorsey was still there, I kind of felt like he was on his way out, right? With Taki getting drafted and Wilson, and it's kind of, you can kind of see that was a guy. Is this, with the new regime, do you sense that he could have a place for the right number? He seems to be a polarizing person when brought up amongst Browns fans, but what do you think they do with Joe?
Yeah, look, this is a tough one, and it's been tough, you know, dating back to the old regime, as you said. Look, it's never a good sign when these negotiations have had all this time to take place and they just haven't happened. One could say that no news is good news, as the front office has been completely retooled, and they're going to, of course, visit and try and figure out where Schobert lands on this team if he does. But again, my gut tells me that despite, even with the new regime coming in, Schobert's a guy that they're not going to be willing to pay the type of money that a guy like him is looking for. And really, he had a career season and deserves every bit of dollar he can get on the open market. But as you said, with the young guys that the Browns have drafted, and really with the opportunity to add some pieces in this upcoming draft, it just doesn't seem like Schobert will be with the Browns in 2020. But again, that is far from concrete or definite, and really until this new regime can figure out and identify. Look, they didn't even get their defensive coordinator in the room till after the Super Bowl, so I'm sure they still have a lot of sorting out to do, and right now it would just be speculation when it comes to Schobert.
Ellis Williams, our guest. He covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. He joins on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Boy, you talk about your hands full for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. They are questions at offensive tackle, both sides, I think. You got questions at linebacker. You got questions with Olivier Vernon opposite Myles Garrett. You currently only have one safety on the roster in Sheldrick Redwine, who was fine at the end but was thrust into duty and probably not what you were hoping for at that position going forward. So questions everywhere. All the while, Ellis, I think incredible pressure to win. This is the first coach general manager hire with the Browns where there is no expectation for rebuild, but rather to put them over the top and get them into the playoffs. That's kind of the view. So I think about the questions that they have to answer. They got to answer a lot of them. They got to do it quick. You were in Minneapolis and where Kevin spent, you know, his entire coaching career. What makes you think he's up for this?
Right. So look, coming in, Kevin Stefanski, people are going to look at the age. They're going to look at the no head coaching experience and think, okay, great, here we go again with a guy who hasn't done it before. But what sets Stefanski apart from other people the Browns have brought in is this guy spent a 14-year coaching career with one organization, survived four different head coaching changes, and I want to say in maybe 2016, 2017, Mike Zimmer, Vikings head coach, even blocked him for having an interview with, I think it was the Giants. Point being, this guy is clearly coveted, clearly respected amongst the league. And then let's just look at Minnesota this year. Minnesota, in a way, like the Browns, came in 2 years ago with some high expectations, you know, the playing the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, then signing Kirk Cousins. Okay, here we go. And the Vikings, you know, fall flat on their face. I think it was a 6-10, 7-9 season. They come back this year, 2019, with the expectations, I would say tempered, sort of as you just said with the Browns. Like, fans were ready for really whatever. And the season didn't start all that hot. All of a sudden, Stefanski sort of repackages the team, makes it a run-first offense, a lot of Kirk Cousins on their center, play-action passes, getting Stephon Diggs deep. Dalvin Cook was the focal point of the offense. Really, he simplifies the offense, and he talks about the marriage between the run and the pass. I think that's something he's completely going to bring to Cleveland. It's no secret that the Browns have the best 1-2 punch at running back in Nick Chubb and assuming Kareem Hunt's return. So to answer your question, why I think Stefanski's up for this is not only did he prove his longevity in the NFL in spending 14 years with one team who wanted him, he also righted the Vikings ship offensively as the offensive coordinator this year. And when the Vikings started slow in those first weeks 1-4, he righted the ship and overcame some drama, though the national media doesn't talk about it, between Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and Kirk Cousins. I don't know if people remember or heard, but
sure. You
know, Cousins had to go and apologize on the radio about this stuff. There was if the Vikings were the Cowboys, they would have let ESPN every week early in the season with all the dysfunction that was going on there. So he righted that ship and got the Vikings to a shocking NFC wildcard win against the Saints. And that's why I think he's going to be the right guy for this job. He's not going to come in and let his ego, you know, drive this thing. He's going to make calculated decisions. And I think he knows what he wants to be offensively. And he's going to use, as we've talked about, data and roster evaluation to get the best out of this Browns offense. And I think his resume has shown that, and why I think Browns fans can, you know, have a little patience and a sigh of relief that it feels like Jimmy Haslam found the right guy here.
Ellis, do you have any clue on possible targets for this Browns organization coming in free agency? Last year's offseason was such a wild one. We talk about the trade for Odell and this, that, whatever. And just my gut says, you know, with more an analytical approach to all of this, that would be a lot less, headlines for the Cleveland Browns. And I think that'd be welcomed by Browns fans. But just what are some targeted guys that maybe, I don't assume it'll be guys who are ranked in the top, you know, whatever of the free agent rankings, but that could really help fill out this roster.
Yeah, look, projecting free agency is tough with the new regime coming in. The Browns have a safe cap number, but it's not like they have a ton of money to play with, like, say, you know, the Colts and their $90 million. I think the Browns are sitting somewhere around 50. Look, the Browns need to address the obvious spots. Tackle, we just talked about linebacker. Tight end seems to be up in the air. Because, honestly, to address the free agent question, we need to figure out how the Browns feel about the guys they have in-house. Like David Njoku, a guy they see being the tight end going forward, because the Vikings had a lot of success in 2 and 3 tight end sets. So the tight end is going to be a very important spot in Stefanski's offense. But does David Njoku fill that spot? So that's another issue of concern. Linebacker, safety, and tackle. Now, a guy like the tight end market, you know, you got the Austin Hoopers of the world and Hunter Henrys, a guy like Raekwon Smith in a linebacker spot, even maybe revisiting a Trent Williams, you know, that would be a trade. But there's spots that need to be addressed, of course. But as for specific names in free agency, it's really hard to forecast who the Browns could be in the market for until they figure out who in their own roster they want to keep going forward.
Fantastic points. Ellis, thanks for your time, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for having me on, you guys. Take care.